Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the CIR Full Year 2017 Results Conference Call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Rodolfo De Benedetti, Chairman of CIR. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I would like to go through the presentation that was made available to you, and I'll start on page five with the consolidated 2017 results that were approved by our board this morning. The net result of CIR was a 5.9 million euro loss, which was affected mainly by a 65.5 million loss derived from the tax dispute at the GEDI level, and I will come back later to this. Without this one-off non-recurring item, our consolidated net result would have been 59.6 million positive, which would have compared to 33.8 million positive for fiscal year 2016. With a significant increase in the bottom line, which, as we will see later, is both derived from the increased contribution from our three operating companies, as well as the positive result from the holding company, from the parent company and wholly owned subsidiaries. From a financial standpoint, the net financial position on a consolidated basis is negative 272 million at the end of December, which compares to a negative 143 million. This is made of a surplus at the holding company level for 343 million at the end of 2017, it's a slight increase compared to 334 at the end of 2016, and a net debt of the consolidated subsidiary of 615 million, increased from the 478 of the end of 2016. Let's say all of the difference is deriving from the tax settlement at the GEDI level for 140 million, which was paid in Q4 2017. If you go to page six, you have a simplified income statement where you have the revenue line, which increases by 6.7%. All three operating companies contributed to the increase in revenues. EBITDA increases from 259 to 290 million, 12% increase, and EBIT increases from 129 million to 154 million. As you can see, at the operating recurring level, there is a generalized increase in both volumes as well as profitability. Our financial result, which as you know, includes both net financial charges of the operating companies, as well as dividends and other items, is substantially in line, -25 compared to -21 the previous year. It is at the tax level that you see a big difference. Here you have the 143 million tax charge one-off related to the GEDI tax settlement, which clearly changes dramatically the tax number for the whole year. The group net result is 5.9 negative compared to 33.8 positive. As I said earlier, it would have been 59.6 million positive if it was not for the GEDI tax settlement. On page seven, you have the breakdown between the contribution of the operating companies, which goes from a positive 25 million to a negative 24 million. And this is obviously, as we saw earlier, affected by the tax dispute at the JV level. If it was not before of that, because of that, there would have been a substantial increase in the contribution from the operating companies, and the holding company result has been a positive 18 million compared to 8.7 million the previous year, with a substantial increase, which is, as we will see later, both mainly due to the good result of our financial investments in the parent company. On page 8, you have a consolidated balance sheet where you have the reduction at the JV level, which is basically our pro rata share of the one-off tax cost, which was deducted from our net equity. And so our net equity in JD goes from 338 to 255. There is a slight increase for Sogefi, and there is also an increase for cost, which is mainly the result of the year in the case of cost net of the dividend distributed. Below the operating companies line, you have a slight reduction in the private equity line, which is due to reimbursement and distribution from some of our private equity funds. It has been a good year in terms of harvesting our private equity portfolio. We realized both cash and P&L gains. We have reduced the size of our NPL portfolio. We sold in the last part of the year at book value a portion of that portfolio, which has reduced our exposure at the end of the year to 11 million. And we have a reduced exposure to other investments. Those are direct investments, of which one was sold in 2017, and therefore this line is reduced below 10 million euro. The net cash goes up from 334 to 343, mainly because of the result of the parent company and the divestitures that I mentioned, both on the private equity portfolio as well as on the direct investment. And this reduces our group shareholders' equity from 1,052,000,000 to 967, and this is basically, as you can see, the result of the Espresso tax settlement. On page 9, you have a breakdown of our consolidated net financial position. Again, JD has been affected by the tax settlement, so what was a net cash position of 32 million euro became a net debt position of 115 million. I remind you that the first two tranches of the tax settlement were paid in 17, and there is the last residual tranche, which is 20% of the amount, which will be paid in June of this year. So JFE has managed to produce a healthy free cash flow, which has reduced net debt from 299 million to 264. And COS has produced, as we will see later, a healthy free cash flow, but it paid a dividend in the course of 17, and it has invested 42 million euro of capex in development through a series of development capex as well as acquisitions. So if it was not because of that, clearly the net debt position at cost level would have been much better. I already commented on the CHIR holding company level, and so the consolidated number is one we saw at the beginning, which is the negative 272 million euros. On page 10, you have a bridge for the net financial position at the holding company level, so the 334 at the end of 16 becomes 343, and you have here the plus and minuses affecting this number. As you can see, the biggest contributor was the net divestiture of 42 million positive, which compensate some of the other negative movements. On page 11, you have a breakdown of our liquid assets. There's not a big change compared to the previous year. We have slightly increased the cash position, and we have slightly reduced the corporate bonds position, but nothing particularly relevant to mention here in terms of the composition of our liquid assets. They continue to be invested in a prudent and overwhelmingly liquid way. I would skip page 12, where you have basically a sum up of the main highlights and the key strategic objectives of the operating businesses. I will not comment on the JV and Sogefi results that were communicated recently by both companies in detail. And so unless you have questions that I'd be glad to answer, but I'll not spend time on that. I would say that the JD integration with Itedi was very successfully carried forward during the year. As you know, the transaction became the incorporation of Itedi into JD became effective at the end of the first half. And so in our 2017 numbers, you have 6 months of Itedi consolidation. And I would say that the expectation of the synergies that we would have been able to realize through that combination are confirming themselves. Part of the benefit of the combination accrued already in 17, and we will have on a full year basis all the benefits this year, and we think that it's probably going to be marginally better than what we expected, i.e. we'll have more synergies compared to what we had budgeted when we agreed the transaction. I will not come back on the settlement of the tax litigation. You have the details on page 15. This was communicated publicly by JD in the fall when this became effective. Obviously, it is a very significant hit in terms of both the P&L, the balance sheet, and the cash position, but we believe that this removes a major risk that was overhanging on the balance sheet of the company, and it removes uncertainty going forward, which the board of the company judged was in the best interest of all the shareholders to pursue, and so this is the. The settlement that we decided back in September. I will just skip through the Sogefi results. Here too, the company announced them about a week ago and detailed the performance of the company. I would just highlight the fact that we said 2 years ago when we went through a major management change in Sogefi that we thought that the performance of the company could have been increased substantially. We have started to see this in the last few quarters. 2017 has been a significantly better year for the company, and we continue to be constructive about our ability over the next few years to increase the profitability of this company. I would maybe comment just a bit more at the results, of course, because they were not public before today. So revenues have increased to 490 million. It's slightly better than 6% increase. Out of that 6%, 2% is internal growth, and about 4% is derived from new structures that were either built from the greenfield or acquisitions that were carried out in the previous periods. EBITDA increases from 82 million to almost 88 million, so with a better increase than the top line increase. And net result goes up from 23 million to 29 million. So what we continue to see year after year in this business is a structural growth in the industry, which enables us to both grow our like-for-like organic revenues, as well as take advantage of consolidation opportunities that we see in the marketplace. We believe that there is still a lot to do ahead of us in terms of consolidating this market. The company now operates 81 long-term facilities, which are located mainly in northern to central Italy, and it runs about 7,700 beds. And the priority and the focus of the management continues to be that of building up our presence mainly in the Italian market. As you know, we have a couple of presences outside Italy in one of our business, which is a diagnostics and cancer care division. We don't plan to add in a major way to that effort. We really see the low-hanging fruit being the continuous consolidation in the Italian market. And 2017 has been a pretty active year in terms of acquisitions. We invested, as I said earlier, about 42 million in external growth, and we have a fairly rich pipeline of opportunities that the company is monitoring and negotiating, and so we expect this effort to continue in the next few years. Lastly, on our non-core investment, the private equity portfolio is a fairly mature one. So the reimbursement phase is pretty active, and every year we've been able to have significant cash-ins and positive contribution to our P&L. As you know, we stopped investing in NPL's portfolio a few years ago. We kept the existing portfolio. We were able to sell 17 million of those in Q4 with no material accounting input, so roughly at book value, which has reduced the size of the NPL portfolio to 11 million. And as we have been doing over the last few years, we're not adding to this activity since quite a few years. And we also reduce our other non-strategic investments. We reduce the size of this line to roughly 10 million, and in 2017 we were able to exit from an existing investment. We generated a capital gain of about 11.3 million euros. So this has contributed nicely to our consolidated P&L. At this point, I would stop with the presentation, and I'd open up to Q&A from the audience.
Excuse me. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Martino De Ambroggi with Equita. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. Two questions on the cash utilization. You solved the problem at JD for the fiscal issue, and it seems to be much less worrying than it was in the past, the issue for the claims at Sogefi. Am I right in believing that now the cash utilization can be deployed in some new initiatives, or the picture didn't change?
Okay. You're right. I mean, I think we've always been conscious, both at the JD level as well as at the chair level, that there was a major contingent liability overhanging the balance sheet of JD, and as such, you know, we had to take that into account in terms of capital allocation. This is why JD, despite the fact that it has been profitable, it was cash positive before the tax settlement, decided not to distribute any dividends over the last few years, because the board thought that this would not have been prudent given the outstanding litigation. This clearly, I think, is one of the reasons why the board thought that this was a good decision to take. I think it will, it has taken away the biggest and most relevant part of that contingent liability, and it has basically, the company has been able over the years to produce sufficient free cash flow to reduce what was a net debt position a few years ago, which was quite relevant, into a net cash position, and this has provided the financial resources to basically be able to settle. I think, you know, this is also something that puts the company in a position, if the opportunities arise in the future, to look at possible transactions, be it both in terms of business combinations or in terms of acquisitions, with a balance sheet which is certain and not where there is a major risk factor. So this is certainly positive. In the case of Sogefi, the ongoing dispute on quality claims with a few customers is proceeding as planned. Those processes are very long, so we are not today in a position to, give you any particular update. So what we can say is that, the board regularly reviews the process of the litigation and adjust if it deems it appropriate the provisions that we have in the Sogefi balance sheet for those risks. And so we believe that, to the best of our knowledge, today our balance sheet reflects fairly the risk related to those litigation. Clearly, whenever you have a litigation outstanding, there is always an unknown, and you have to factor that in. I think in the case of Sogefi, the company decided to focus on increasing its free cash flow generation. This was essential because the company was not generating sufficient cash flow up to a couple of years ago, and we think that is a priority given the debt level that the business has, which is absolutely sustainable, but it needs to be reduced progressively over time, and this is what has been happening in the last 2 years, and this is not what's happening before, and so we think this positive dynamics was important to be put in place. I would say that the consequence, I mean, I don't really see any direct consequence of those two issues for what concerns the cash position at the chair level. We have consistently said that our priority and our focus was going to be to support the possible development of our operating businesses, and we said particularly Sogefi and COS, because we see in those two sectors the opportunity to also grow by non-organic growth. and we have done it in the case of Kosh. Obviously, there are a bunch of opportunities and targets which are continuously reviewed in both those businesses, and some of them are doable within the internally generated resources or with the leverage that those companies can access to. But clearly there would be, and it is possible, that there would be opportunities that goes beyond that in terms of capital needs. And next year we would like to be in a position to support our operating businesses if we saw, a particularly attractive non-organic growth opportunity. So I think that hasn't changed from the past. The fact that we have not done any doesn't mean that we have not worked in that direction. And I hope that that will be possible in the future, because it will mean that we will have find the right opportunity to grow those businesses. And we think those are good and sound and well-managed platforms in businesses where we see a continuous opportunity to consolidate those markets, and so this is what we would like to do in the future.
Okay, thank you. One more question on the cash utilization, referring to the buyback. You have now 17.6% of the capital, if I'm not wrong. Is the cancellation still the most reasonable scenario?
I don't have any comment to on that. I mean, the board this morning decided to propose to the next shareholders meeting to vote on continuing, on giving it authorization to continue the buyback program. Clearly, the buyback program, as it has always been, is something that the company manages in an opportunistic way. And, we try to be contrarian. We try to buy when prices are low and to buy less or not buy when prices are higher. And I think we'll continue to use that instrument with that type of flexibility. We don't need to cancel shares before we reach the 20% threshold, which we are not there yet. And I think when we will get there, we'll make a decision whether we want to go forward and cancel or not. But we don't have to take that decision now.
Okay, thank you. And company-specific question on Sogefi. During your initial remarks, you mentioned you are confident in an improvement in profitability over the next few years. Could you share with us what is a reasonable target or a minimal floor in terms of profitability or in terms of free cash flow?
We're not used to giving guidance in terms of future numbers for our operating businesses. We did say a couple of years ago that we thought that benchmarking Sogefi against the best in class, we were lagging in terms of both EBIT margins as well as free cash flow generation, and that therefore our immediate focus was in putting in place actions to remedy that. And we knew that we could target an increase in both profitability and free cash flow generation. We are encouraged by the results that we have achieved so far. We don't think we're done yet. We think that when you look at the best run companies in the component industry, there is still some catch up to do that we have to achieve. And we don't see any reason why, given the type of business we operate in, we cannot achieve to, generate those type of best-in-class results. I would not like to give you, precise guidelines, because the company has a policy of not doing that. And so It wouldn't be appropriate for me to do this, but clearly we have more ambitious objectives in terms of profitability.
This habit could change going forward, like other best-in-class companies in the car segment used to do?
I didn't get your question. I mean, the question is EBIT, should EBIT go up?
No. Yeah. My question is, you mentioned Sogefi is not accustomed to provide guidance. Wondering if this could change in the future once you have a much better visibility, or is something that will stay as it is today, because some of what you mentioned, best-in-class companies in the sector uses to provide some medium long-term guidance.
You know, I think this is, I mean, the way we operate is that our businesses, and you know, all of them, but I would say particularly those that have a listing and have other shareholders, they have their own policy of communicating their results and furthermore their plans to the market. And so, you know, historically, Sogefi has not provided guidance. So as far as I know, they don't foresee a change in that policy, but you know, that's something that it's up to them to decide. And clearly, as a shareholder, it's not up to us to provide, you know, guidance that they would not provide on their own. As far as I know, I don't think that they plan to change that policy.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. Mr. De Benedetti, there are no more questions registered at this time. Excuse me, there is a follow-up from Martino De Ambrogi. Please go ahead.
Yeah, if I may, one follow-up on costs. In the press release, there is a quantified like-for-like growth last year of 2.5% in terms of sales. Should we take this as a level also going forward for the sector? And what is the contribution of the five new acquisitions finalized during last year, since we don't have all the figures for these deals? So in order to have an idea, what is the growth for this year?
I think the 2.5% like for like is, you know, this is an actual number. This is a fact. I think that, as you know, this is a business where, you know, you run very close to full capacity. And so when you look at like for like growth in terms of revenues, it can only come from increasing tariffs. And historically, tariffs have evolved pretty much in line with the inflation rate, the CPI rate. Also because they are made up of things like, you know, mainly labor that are related to CPI. So I think that, you know, this number is pretty much in line with what you should expect. Obviously, it's not only tariff, but it's also occupancy, and occupancy can go up or down marginally from a year to the other on the you know, up and running mature facilities. But so the bulk of it, I would say, is tariff, and tariff is a bit out of our control. So as you know, those are fixed by the regions. And so there is a dynamic there that, again, in the past has been pretty much in line with inflation, but you know, it's difficult to make forecast there. The rest of it is really dependent on our ability to find the right opportunity. opportunities to both do greenfields and to do acquisitions. We have been, since we started COST, we've been actively working on both fronts, and we have created a number of new structures, and there are a number which are right now in the pipeline and they are under construction. So we know that we will have a certain number of new structures and new beds up and running in the next quarters. What is more difficult to forecast is our ability to find acquisitions. We monitor the market. I think we are well aware of what is available. Obviously, we are not the only player in the market, so from time to time, you know, we lose opportunities to competitors. We have been and will continue to be very to keep a good discipline in terms of pricing and valuation of the assets that we buy. And so, you know, there is some mortality rate in that pipeline because we're not necessarily going to be successful in everything we would like to buy and we have, you know, on our radar screen. But I would say that the sector is large enough and fragmented enough that we are, you know, reasonably confident that we can continue year in, year out, as we have done over the last few years, to find, you know, the right opportunities. And there is competition, but it's not, you know, unlimited. There are few players that compete in this space in Italy, and there are very few players that have the same platform and the same, you know, ability to integrate those acquisitions in an existing network as we have. And, you know, we believe that we are well positioned to take advantage of that opportunity. There are also, you know, very few, but there are some larger targets that we've been following over the years. We were able in the past to, you know, to execute on a couple of those. Both Anni Azzurri and Santo Stefano were, you know, acquisitions of larger entities that we were able to realize. And there are not tons of them, but there are a few of them in the Italian market that would make sense and would be a good fit with what we own. And we think we would have the management resources to integrate them successfully in our business. But, you know, as you well know, it's not always predictable when those assets come to market, and if they come to market, whether, you know, the terms that buyers and sellers can agree, you know, are acceptable for us. And, you know, I think we like this business and we would like to get bigger in this business, and there are clearly benefits from economies of scale, but we want to keep our discipline in terms of not overpaying for those opportunities, and so we are patient.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. De Benedetti, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Thank you very much for participating to this call, and good afternoon.